blessed. Thankful for y'all. I'm going to give you one quick word for the body. Straight and to the point. Let it sink in, okay? Don't ever take for granted what you have here. It's very special. I could expound on that for a half an hour, an hour. But let it sink in. Let it roll around in your mind because there's so much truth in that. This is a basement, but there's more happening in this basement. People growing in depth, intimacy with God, than a lot of gigantic churches. That's not a comparison. That's just holding a mirror in front of you and saying, look, look what you've got. It's good. It's good. It's good. Don't ever take it for granted. So thank you guys for having me. Oh man, I love getting blasted by God. It's not good for speaking sometimes. Because spending the last couple days with Brian, my brother, and Brad and Peter the other night, it became really, really, really obvious to me why God brought me here, because God's given me a message, is what he's done. Series of messages, but overall, it's a message. And instead of bringing people to me all the time, God sends me places to speak to people who are prepared for what I have to say. So it takes some discernment, it takes some listening. And so coming here on faith, having it confirmed exactly why I'm here today is super exciting, because it's not about me. It's about hearing about where you guys are and what God's doing within this body and what he's going to do. Because sometimes when you're in the middle of it, when this is your home and the things that are going on, you're inside of them in this capsule, it's hard to really realize to step out and put things into perspective and realize what's going on. So I get to tell you what's going on, and I get to tell you some of the things that God's taking us into. And I say us because it is us. We're family. I may live in New Orleans, but we're all in this thing together. We're all on the same trajectory together, okay? And he may give us different angles. He may give us different revelations about what's going on, but isn't that what the body of Christ is, right? So it's fun. So my talk today is essentially, we'll call it The Other Side of Freedom, The Other Side of Freedom. It is becoming a book right now. So my challenge is trying to consolidate it into a talk before the hand turns all the way around again. And I know y'all usually don't go that long, so I'll try to wrap it up before then. So that's the challenge. But I want to talk to you a little bit real quick about what to expect. One of the cool and tricky things about the person and the ways of God is that a lot of times he will begin something in you and it won't show up until a couple days later or a couple weeks later. It happens to me all the time. He'll say something, he'll give me a picture for something, I'll go to an event or whatever. Something's planted within your person, and as you cultivate it, things just show up in your life. Today's like that. So, be expecting to receive. And also, we talk about healing. We talk about God being able to touch people. We believe for things like that. This isn't a healing service, but my Bible says that God is the in all. He is the through all. All things are by him. He is in all things. I'm here to declare right now that he is fully present right here, right now. He embodies every square inch of every universe, every galaxy. He somehow is filling all of that space. So why, if you need to be touched by God today, why, if you need healing in your body, do you have to wait for some man to pray for you? Receive. Generously receive. Because that is your inheritance. It is your inheritance to be touched by him. And also it's your inheritance to be in intimate relationship with him. And so if you catch him whispering to you, if you catch him, forget about what I'm saying, zone me out, entertain what he's saying. Because that's what's going to change your life. Okay? And expect that. Do what you have to do. But there needs to be an expectancy. Everything we do by faith, right? We hear by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. But I want to speak to your hearts right now. Prepare your hearts. Because I'm going to say some stuff, but it has nothing to do with what I'm saying. At the end of the day, it's about you and Holy Spirit. That's it. That's what this whole thing's about. If we really got that, I wouldn't need to be here. I would just come hang out, we'd party, and that'd be fun. I'm going to read something real quick. It's the intro to the book. I'm going to read it because I haven't told this story, and so I don't know how to tell it. So I'll just read it. I'll try to read it. I'm not the best reader. Here we go. An immense peace came over me. My awareness steadily began shifting from one realm to another. My physical body, seated in my wisdom chair, was once more the launching pad. It was almost as though my spirit shot straight out of my person up through my forehead. And there I was again in a trance-like state. All of a sudden, I saw God sitting off to my right, casually on top of a rock. As I focused, I could see the rock was part of an overhang. He was perched on the edge of a cliff, overlooking a vast distance of wilderness. Then he invited me to sit with him. I could hear his words, but his mouth was not moving. Tapping the rock next to him as if he were tapping or wiping off my seat, my spot. Sit with me. His invitation was gentle, yet direct. His mannerism was so at ease, almost as though he had been relaxing there for some time and wanted me to enjoy it with him. He was so carefree, but he really wanted my company up on that rock. I accepted his invitation without any verbal or nonverbal acknowledgement. In my spirit, I said yes. That was all that was needed. That agreement was more than sufficient, considering God's means of communication has no bounds. The next thing I knew, I was sitting next to him. My movement was unnecessary as my words. I just was. I simply appeared, sitting at his left. He gently reached his arm up and draped it over my shoulder with an affectionate ease. There was the familiarity of a father who was generous with love and not light on affection. Without saying anything, he looked off into the distance, admiring the view. He was not in a hurry. He was not anxious. But the way he was lingering, I could tell that he wanted me to follow his lead. He then reached up the hand that was not draped around my shoulder and pointed off into the distance. Beyond his fingertip, a vast, undefined distance lay. I wasn't allowed to see what was there, but it was intended that I notice a few details. First, it appeared blurry, but had a very inviting presence. I wondered why it was undefined. Was my view somehow distorted? He heard my wondering and answered in the same telepathic manner as before. He told me he wanted me to follow him into the undefined expanse of possibilities. This land, he continued, is the land known as the other side of freedom. And in that land is where I send my people to explore and to manifest myself. This is the land of no more formulas and no more hoops. And I want you to explore it and create in it. That's for you. I share that because this is all corporate. Any experiences that I share, and I'm going to share some more, they're him talking to me, but the reason that I share them is because they are for all of us. These are promises. These are him talking about things that we were created to explore together. I just get to be the one to talk about it. You guys get to be the ones to do it. We're all doing it, but that's the way it works. So, who here knows that they're free? Yeah. All right. Who here knows that you're holy and righteous and pure and blameless and spotless. Exactly. Exactly. So God takes us on this, I see it as a funnel, right? Everything he does by relationship. He does through intimacy. But he takes us down this path because in his mind, his opinion of you, his vision of you, and his reality of who you are is fixed. He sees you as all of those things, and we know it, and we can repeat it back, and we know it pretty well. But the truth is, all of us are on a journey through life down this path. This path is the journey of understanding fully who we are in him. If any of us really fully grasped that, we'd be floating and we'd have to have seatbelts to hold us inside the chair, right? But we know it. And that's the amazing thing. Our arrival point is in Christ. When he died, we died. We arrived then. So we're not on this path trying to get to the arrival point. We're living from the arrival point. How fun is that, right? You guys know that. You live from that. You've been talking about that for years. That's embedded in your person. That's in your DNA as this church. Do you realize how priceless that is? There's no replacing that. So to sit for 2 days and hear about what God has been instilling within this body, within the individuals, you're ruined for forever. So get ready because you can't go backwards. And that's what we want. That's what it's about, right? It's about being ruined to the old and realizing that this new reality that we have in him, man, what can possibly compare to that? We try to make songs about it. We try to describe it, but it's all futile. We try our best. So God takes us through, he awakens our hearts. And we hear the message of grace. We hear the message of our righteousness by faith. We hear all these amazing things, and it takes hold in our life. And we go from a life of striving, where we're like, oh, God, I got to do this. I got to do that. That's our life inside, right? That's our subconscious mind. That's our thoughts, our emotions, our all this stuff. And then he just gently, he's wooing us into this reality. He's wooing us into this relationship. And finally, we understand it. Our hearts are enlightened to him. My Bible, I found it in the Bible. I found enlightenment. It's Colossians 2, 2, and 3 in the Amplified. It uses the word enlightenment. How crazy is that? All things are stored up and lie hidden in Christ. All the secrets of the Father, all the mysteries of everything are hidden in Christ, and he hid himself in us. And right before that, in Colossians 2, it says, he reveals that to us as we become more intimately acquainted with him. So it's like we enjoy him. We get to know him. We fellowship. We commune with him. And it's like you're walking down this path with him, and all of a sudden he's like, here, here, know this, know this, know this. But here's the crazy part. He's awakening you from within. Those aren't add-ons. All this revelation isn't something that he just throws out of heaven. He's awakening it from within because you embody his fullness. All the fullness of the kingdom of God is in your person. Can you imagine that? I know we know that. We say that. But that's crazy. That means that's more power than an atom bomb. But yet, we get excited when we touch someone and they fill up with electricity. It's like, whoa, that's cool. It's a baby. It's baby stuff. Our inheritance is awesome. We're just seeing the beginning of this stuff. All this stuff. But here's the thing. It's so funny because I talk to so many people, and so many people strive and they want the stuff. And they're like, oh, I got to get the stuff. The stuff comes from rest. The stuff comes from realizing that you inhabit the fullness. That's how you release it. A still inner person is the person that can release the power at will, is the person that can live a lifestyle of hearing God clearly through the chaos, because you don't have inner chaos, because you're at peace, because you're not at war against yourself, because Fear isn't the voice that you listen to. Worry and strife and all those things. So what do you do when you get that? What do you do when you walk in that? What in the heck do you do when you learn how to quit? When those truths take hold enough to your into your life, when they're bearing fruit, right? People can see it. People feel the love. That's a crazy place. That's a really crazy place because it's a scary place. And you know what it looks like? It's simple. It's simple, but just like everything else, it's very complex and very deep. It's not complex, it's deep. Because life, when you realize who you are, is about being awesome. That's it. When you realize that you are awesome, when you finally can look in the mirror for the first time and not be cringe, and look at yourself and peer at yourself and be like, I'm awesome. And I don't have a problem saying that. And you shouldn't either. And when you get to the point where someone else looks you in the eyes and they say, I think I'm awesome. It's weird. Well, I'm awesome. I never realized it before. And you're like, yes, you are. There's a point to where when you're walking down this path, when you learn to rest in the Lord, when you learn to cease striving from your own efforts, when you learn to draw upon the power of God, and when you learn to trust in His working, He comes knocking at your door, and He says something that might sound like this, because this is what He said to me. Okay, now that you learn how to quit, now that you learn how to stop, it's time to do. It's time to do again. Because now we are learning to draw upon Him. I was on Facebook this morning, and I saw a video of some big eagle flying across the road, and there's a deer right here, and it just takes this deer out. It was a baby deer, and this eagle just grabbed on him, and they rolled around, and he pinned him down, and apparently he snuffed him out pretty good. Done. And you know what the Holy Spirit told me about that? Because I'm not really into violence. It weirds me out. But I hear a lot of times, one of the common teachings, I think, in certain movements, in the grace movement and things like that, to help people understand their freedom, and it's a great picture, and that is a baby eagle amongst a bunch of chickens. Y'all probably heard it. The eagle doesn't know who he is. He thinks he's a chicken, so he's acting like a chicken. Finally, he realizes an eagle, and he takes off and flies. That's an awesome, awesome analogy. It's an awesome story, but the Holy Spirit asked me when that happened, he goes, what happens once he learns how to fly? That's the other side of freedom. Because if you're like me, and people tell you you're free, and eventually you get it, and you're like, okay, 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 I got it. I believe it. And something in you is like, you were created to do so, so much. You were created to do amazing things. But for so long, since you were this big, people have been crushing that. Don't do that. Be afraid. Don't touch that. Oh, no, that's impossible. You can't do that. You can't fly. You can't be a superhero. You could never build a skyscraper. Come on. You don't come from money. You can't own a business. It's been snuffed out for so long. So what happens when you finally realize you're an eagle? You do awesome stuff. You take down deer. What's an eagle do once he learns to fly? He hunts. We lived in Colorado for 2 summers, and there's some cliff, and these big eagles have lived there for hundreds of years, and every year they build this gigantic nest, like this big, and have a family of birds. They built stuff. They did things. Eagles who know who they are do awesome things. They don't just soar. Y'all are eagles, right? Yes. Anybody an eagle? It's important, though, that when we step into this land, when God invites us in and he says, okay, it's time to go into this land and it's time to explore. It's time to learn how to create. It is vital that we have been taught by him. One of the things I hate, and I'm not a fear guy, but one of the things that I really, really, really am very interested in instilling in people that I get the honor of influencing and talking to and being in their lives is the importance that the Holy Spirit should be our number one teacher. Period. End of story. So many people do not know how to be taught by God because there's such a lack of intimacy with God sometimes. And his teaching is hard to make into a formula. That's the problem. It's really hard to mass produce because it's so intimate. And because he's created each one of us to hear differently, right? Because any communication and any language that he uses to relate his heart to us is, in a sense, limiting himself. And we're wired differently. And some people are visual. And some people are auditory. And some people come from a different, this culture, and some people come from that culture. So he speaks to them in a lingo that they understand. And he speaks to them in a lingo that they understand. It's complicated from up here. But inside of there, it's so simple. He makes it so simple to walk with him. But we have to avail ourselves to him, right? And as we avail ourselves to him, he avails himself to us without measure. He pours himself out on us. But that's how you start doing this thing, because there is no formula. Because God is the God of no formula, but he's the God of relationship. And that's the key importance. That's the key ingredient of understanding all this stuff. Because if you understand it without intimacy, then it could very easily become another religion. It could very easily just become another doctrine, right? But in order to do this launch, in order to grab a hold of this new trajectory that he's taken us on, it's got to be grounded in first intimacy with him. And so, because he's constantly going to remind you of the truths that he's been teaching you anyway, right? We live from that. We need, you can never hear the gospel enough. You should be telling that to yourself every day. That never gets old, right? The gospel is the message, period. There is no better message than Christ in you, hope of glory. That's the one message, as far as I'm concerned. But inside of that, once you go through that hole, there's so much depth of exploration, right? But it can be... Freedom is a very scary thing because people can kill people with freedom. That's why it's important to be grounded in maturity, grounded in wisdom, because when you're walking in intimacy with God, he doesn't let you do that stuff. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't a micromanager of morality. He's really not. A friend and I were joking around the other day about cussing. I cuss a little bit too much. And the Holy Spirit told me not to about 6 months ago. But the reason that he said that wasn't because he was so worried about the words. It's because I speak publicly. And that would be foolish to let something fly that you shouldn't let fly, right? Guys, every single one of my heroes in Scripture was personally taught by God. And it looked different for every single one of them. God had a plan for each one of them. And the plan was an educational plan because he had a purpose for these guys and ladies. Moses, when God revealed himself at the burning bush, he revealed himself to Moses. He taught him how to do miracles when he said, drop your staff, and it turned into the snake. Pick it up, put your hand in your thing, pull it out, put it back in. He taught him. And then after that, later on, God says, I will teach you what you are to say. That is a promise. That's a promise for all of us. And I believe that that's God's will for each one of us. And he will do it if we allow ourselves to learn from him. So as I started to have this truth sink in, God gave me a question that I asked back to him. And that was, what in the world does this other side of freedom look like? Because I'm the kind of guy that if you give me an inch, I'm going to take a mile. And I don't mean that in a bad way. That sounds like a bad trait, but it's not. It means if you tell me that something's possible, like, don't dare tell me that the fullness of God lives in me, because I'm just going to believe that. And when I believe it, I'm going to draw from it and I'm going to do stuff. Right? Because if you have the same fullness in you that I have, if Joe Blow Wonder Man has it that I have, I can do the same stuff he can. You can do the same stuff he can. You have the same access to God the Father that he has. God's not withholding anything from us. Nothing. You know who's closing the spigot? We are. We are. He closed the circuit, the relational circuit. And so we have all of it. He releases it through relationship as we walk with him. He answered my question, what does this other side of freedom look like? And that was the, oh, great. That was the... That was the crazy adventure that started kicking in, because he gave me what he referred to as a 30-day training program. I'm like, okay, cool. I have an office. It's a room. I have a chair and a sofa, a desk. There's a shared conference room, a bathroom, and it's a nice little setup. And he said, meet with me in here every single morning for 30 days, and I'll teach you. I said, okay. You going to say no to that? No, you're not going to say no to that. And one of the crazy things is during that time, he showed me so many things. Some of the things I received immediate understanding for, and some of the things I did not. Some of the things I'm just now coming into understanding of what these revelations were and what they are. And I'm going to try not to sidestep here, but I want to talk about that really, really fast, because I think it's important that we get this. Revelation has dimensions to it, in a sense. When God teaches us things, he'll release a revelation to you, and you catch it. Right? You hear it. It goes in you. And then you cultivate it. And then you learn how to express it and release it. He taught me that through Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1. God reveals himself to Jeremiah. It says, the word of God revealed himself to Jeremiah. And the very first thing he did, he showed Jeremiah a vision. And he revealed it to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah saw it. He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, well, I saw this. And he said, Jeremiah, yes, you saw correctly. End of encounter. He revealed it to him. Okay? He comes right back. And the word of God reveals himself to Jeremiah a second time. And he shows him another vision. He says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah told him what he saw. He says, yeah, you saw correctly. This is what it is. And he gave him the understanding. Encounter over. Comes back to him again. Starts speaking to him. And he says, now, go speak to them over there. Expression. So many of us, so many times in today's world, there's so much coming at us. You can listen to a podcast at the drop of a dime. In one day, you can listen to 10 different pastors about 10 different things. You can listen to your favorite guy about this. That's crazy. That's one of the greatest things about our time, because things are moving so fast because we have so much access to hearing new revelation. But it's the flip side of that is it. I don't want to use the word dangerous, because it's not dangerous. But if you're not walking with the Holy Spirit, then you could very easily be listening to all kinds of things that God's like, I'm not having that for you right now. It's not bad. It's good. But it's taking you off of the trajectory of development that I have for you. And if we'll trust him like Moses and Jeremiah and these guys and say, God, what is my path? God, what is the training program that you have for me? 100% of the time, every time, he will answer you. He loves those kind of questions. But somehow along the way, we don't believe it. Right? We think that, well, maybe I won't hear, or maybe this and that and that. It's okay. And you know what he'll do? In those times, he'll tell you to listen to people. He'll tell you, This is where I have for you right now. I'm giving you revelation on this subject. We talked about that the other night, like having just a year of revelation in certain areas. I mean, how do you know that? God told you. It was beautiful. That's such a great illustration of that. Relational God. He's a relational God. All this stuff is pointing to his desire to realize that he has made us one with himself. Now, all of this striving and all these hoops that we jump through are so unnecessary. And when you get that, life starts to look a lot different. Right? You can enjoy things again, finally. You can enjoy one another. I mean, wasn't that crazy when you could finally look at somebody for the first time and they didn't suck? Right? I mean, the church needs to stop telling people that they suck. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? That's where we're headed. Right? As we get to know him in that place, and as we develop this relational life with him, he reveals all of these secrets about himself. He reveals his ways. Like, that's the most amazing thing about me, or about him to me, is his ways. I mean, isn't that what Moses did? He's like, I saw your power. I saw you part a sea. I saw you turn my staff into a snake. I saw these crazy things, God, but show me your ways. And that's what I'm saying now, God. I've tasted of your grace. I understand my identity, but show me your ways. And he does. And then you know what he does? He flips the script on you and he says, you know my heart, now I'm going to teach you your heart. Because all those things, like, it's so scary in the church for people to think about themselves. Because we do not live self-centered lives. When you understand who you are in Christ, selflessness is not an issue. That is a fruit of identity, is we are not self-centered. We're not worried about how things affect us, how things impact us. But guess what? Once you get that, you can focus on yourself, but not because you're worried about yourself. You're not worried about how things affect you. You're not worried about being selfish. You're worried about how you can cultivate the gifts inside of you that God's put in there, because he wants to be a manifestation of himself through you. He wants the world to experience him through the things that he's created you to do. Because how many of y'all know that if there's something that God wants to do on the earth, most likely his preferred means and method of doing it now under the new covenant is you. Amen. He can supersede that. He can come down from heaven in a lightning bolt. He can ride a chariot. He can do whatever the heck he wants to do. But he wants us to be his carriers. He wants us to look so much like him that we basically are him. How cool is it that he has infinitely fused himself with us in spirit? You could not separate us if you tried. One, 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 one. But yet we're still ourselves. That's the Trinity, right? He is one with himself. He is in perfect fellowship. He is in perfect communion, enjoying himself in perfect harmony, and he pulls us into it. But he's still one. But he's also individual, so we can know Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father. And that's what he pulls us into. So he has fused himself with us and made us one, but yet kept us with feelings and emotions and ideas. Because he's not looking to control us. He's looking for us to be partners with him. Partners that know how to draw from his power, and partners that know his will. And ultimately, when you walk down that path, you realize that his will for your life is to know who you are and to know who he is. And somebody who walks with that understanding of the heart of the Father knows his love and carries his love and releases his love abundantly. That's his will. And the expression of that, there's so much room. The path that we're walking down, that we're told, that is so narrow that you just have this perfect little thing. And you just don't go over here, you're in trouble. Get back on the path. Don't go over here, you get in trouble. That's true to some extent. But when you know God, when you're walking by faith and he trusts you and you trust him, that path gets really stinking wide. And he says, he starts to ask you things like, hey, Brian, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Think about it. Get back to me. He starts doing stuff like that. And guess what? If it's stupid and you end up making a little bit of a mistake, and you go wherever he goes, I got you. I'll fix it. And I'll even make it better. That's our dad. That is our dad. Every good father wants his kids to develop, to grow, and to be powerful, right? Does God want us to stay slaves? Does God want us to stay as this micromanaged little deal? No. That's how it was with me when I first was awakened by him and I started hearing his voice very clearly. He'd say, Jeremy, go left, go right, go this way, go that way, heal this person, tell this person that, don't tell this person that, do this, do that, do this, do that. And it was awesome because it taught me dependence. And there is no replacement for learning that kind of dependence. Period. Because who needs self-reliance, right? It's foolishness. But then you get to a point, and he's like, okay, let's try something different. During that 30-day training program, I was sitting there in the chair that I mentioned in the thing that I read. I call it my wisdom chair. And the reason I call it my wisdom chair is because when I was a little kid, I don't remember much about scripture that I heard when I was a kid. But one of the things that I remembered was the scripture, I think it's in James, where it says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, and it will be given to you abundantly, or something, however it said. So I said, okay, cool, little kid Jeremy. So that's one of the only things I ever asked God for regularly all through my life. And so I think by asking that, I realized that I need it. And then I realized that wisdom is a person that you relate with. So I sit in the chair because I need wisdom, and wisdom shows up and tutors me. He'll do the same for you. Remember, wisdom is a person that you relate with. If you get nothing else out of today, that'll change your life. I promise. So I'm sitting there in my chair. And I finish my water, and so I walk down the hall to fill up my cup of water, because I told you we have a kitchen. I fill up my water, and I'm walking back down towards my office. And the Lord says, stop. I said, okay. I stopped. He said, turn around and go back to the kitchen. So I turn around and go back down the hall to the kitchen. At the end of the hall, there is a door, and the door opens up into the kitchen. And you can see through the door three tables, okay? They're square tables, and they're stacked up together next to each other to make one rectangular table. He said, I want you to sit in this chair right here. So I walk in, pull out the chair, sit down. He says, okay, good. He said, look down and tell me what you see. I look down, and there's a plain white table. So I said, God, I see a plain white table. He pulled a Jeremiah, and he said, you saw correctly. I said, okay, good. Here's a little thing about God. When he asks you questions, that's why it's important to know the ways of God. Because when he asks you questions, usually he's either trying to make a point or he's pulling you into something that's going to stretch you. He doesn't just ask questions. I mean, he does sometimes. But next question. He says, what would you do if I gave you a Sharpie marker and I said, on this plain white table, draw and design whatever you wanted to do? What would you do? What would you design? What would you draw? And at this point, it was really kicking in the fact that he was challenging me, because I could feel it in my gut that I was being challenged. And the fact that my answer was, I didn't have a good answer. Because my answer was, everybody has go-to doodles that they do. Don't act like you don't, because you were in high school, you were on the phone, then you have a pen in your hand and a pad of paper. There's something that you always do. Correct? Yes. I do eyeballs and these little squiggly things. That was my answer. God, I would draw an eyeball, maybe a couple eyeballs, and some squiggles. What kind of answer is that? For God. It was my only answer. But I knew even by the interaction that wasn't a great answer, but it was the honest answer. He said, okay, good. He said, what if I gave you $100 and sent you down the street to the art supply store? You could buy whatever you wanted, and you could bring it back, and you could design, you could decorate the table however you wanted. What would you do? You know what my response was? Crickets. God, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do, God. This promise is for everybody, so this is why I'm telling you this. He said, Jeremy, have I not provided for you abundantly for everything that we've dreamed up to do together so far? Yes, you have. I couldn't say no because he has 100% of the time, every time he's come through. So my answer was, yes, Lord, you have. He said, Jeremy, as you learn how to dream, whatever you dream up, if you do it with me, I will fund it. What? Grab that. Somebody grab that. Corporately grab that, because that's not me. That's you. That's all of us. That's a promise. Whatever you can dream up with him, he will fund. Shane and I live across the street from an abandoned school. It's awesome. Somebody bought it, but I wanted it. We have a ministry. People would ask me, are you going to try to get it? I'm like, I don't have vision for it. What am I going to do with it? If God dropped that in my lap right now, I wouldn't know what to do with it. God needs to expand our thinking, doesn't he? In order to do the things that he is going to do through us, because our mind can't even fathom them, because our thinking hasn't expanded enough to be able to do it, right? That's how God operates. He expands us, right? He takes us past the levels of disbelief that we have right now. Because we all would say that we don't have disbelief. We don't struggle with unbelief or fear or doubt or all that stuff. And no, we really don't. But our box is really just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We're still in some sort of box. But that's not who we are. We're not supposed to be in a box. So God needs to expand and renew. As we renew our minds, he expands our thinking. And as he does that, we're able to be able to dream more. We're able to have vision for things. And as we find out who we are in him, and we start to explore ourselves with him, and start to realize that there's so many things about us that we've had embedded in us since we were a little kid. There's certain dreams and desires, certain capabilities, certain things that we've wanted to do, but it's just been deadened. And God's breathing life on that. God's awakening all that. And this church is going to be at the forefront of that in this city. This church is very much a church, but it's a leader, what did I call it last night? A leader, I forget what I called it. Incubator. Right? There's so much depth. There's creativity in life, and it's real. It's more than, I mean, pictures are great. They're going to be awesome pictures, but it's going to be things that change the landscape of things as well. I mean, there's going to be real impact. When you start to get that, life starts to look a lot different. And God redefines things. It's like, for me, I start to look at life as a series of projects. Somehow in our mind, we have that like, there's this one thing that we're created for, and we have to stay on this tiny little path, and maybe one day we're going to do it, and one day we're going to be there. And we miss the fact that we have the fullness now. We're drawing from eternity now, and God is wanting to use us to be able to do fun things. He's wanting to give us projects to do. And all these things that we do come together into one giant masterpiece. It's like a collage or mosaic or whatever it's called. That's our life. It's like so many of us are waiting around wanting to hear that you're validated. Right? Like, I'm missing this piece and I can do the thing that God's put in my heart one day. I have this dream that will not go away. I feel like I'm created to do something, and I know it. I just know that I know that I know it, and I know it, and I know it. But I can't. But I can't. I need this. I need somebody to come along. I need this. You can do it now. If God's put it in your heart, and if you're walking in intimacy with him, and by faith, you can do it. But make sure that it's him. Make sure that he put it in there. You'll know that if you know him. But we got to get over these days of fear. We got to get over the days of looking for somebody to validate us. That's one of my favorite things to do to tell people is you are validated 100%. And me telling you that doesn't make you validated. Christ is the one that made you validated. Right? We got to start believing this about ourselves. The fruit of somebody who knows who they are, the life, it's being awesome. And not being ashamed of it. Not qualifying yourself. Not apologizing for it. And as a body of believers, pushing each other towards that, right? So I'm like, God, what does this look like? Like, if you're going to give me this much freedom, if you're going to let me walk in this much authority, and if you're going to let me cooperate with you, and you're even going to trust me to make some decisions from time to time. And that's the thing about God, is it's never a formula, because he never says, okay, now you make all the decisions. No. It doesn't work like that. It's a relationship. He's like, Jeremy, do this. He still does that all the time. Do this. Go there. But sometimes he's like, there's a ton of freedom over here. Create something, because I want to find joy in seeing what my son creates, right? So I'm like, God, how do I walk in this kind of relationship without, or this kind of freedom without leaving intimacy with you and relationship in the dust? Because that's my, I almost said my greatest fear. It's not a fear. But I never, ever want to lose what I have with God. And I won't. I can't. It'll never happen. But I want to know how to make sure that I guard myself from never having it happen. Does that make sense? Because that's our life. That is our life. You're never far from God. Ever, right? Ever, 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 ever. But in your mind, you can be very far from God. It's a lie. Right? So I was like, God, how do you do that? And he showed me, as he does a lot of times in a vision, he gave me an encounter. And I was sitting in the chair again. And he took me into a vision. And he was sitting in a chair, just relaxed. And I was outside of a door, and I could see him in a room. And he was sitting there, like his leg was crossed, and he was just kind of like, he was really relaxed. He said, come on in. And he invited me into the room, and I'm like, okay, I'll go into the room. So I walk into the room. As soon as I enter the room, a chair appeared before him. It wasn't there before. It appeared as I walked in. It's kind of cool how he works. He said, have a seat. So I had a seat. The second I sit down, he starts rattling off questions. And it wasn't in like a badgering 20 questions way. They were good questions. And he was saying it with feeling. He was saying it with actual concern and care. He said, so, how are you enjoying your assignment? What are some of your biggest challenges? Tell me some of the things you dislike. What are the things you like? What would you like to see done differently? Do you have enough resources? Da-da-da-da-da. Going on and on and on. And as he was doing that, he gave me the understanding. That's what it looks like to walk with him. That's what it looks like to go down this path, to be able to do things with him, to be able to be powerful with him, but never leave him in the dust in intimacy. It's like a good professor, because that's what I realized. I was in a room of a professor, and I was sitting down with a good teacher who cared. And he wasn't the kind of teacher that just wanted me to learn the information so that I could put it on the test, so that I could move on. He wanted me to have understanding. He wanted me to be empowered. He wanted me to be changed. And isn't that what a good teacher does? He wanted me to be stretched. And some of the questions he asked, he didn't even give me the answer to. And he wasn't going to give me the answer to, because he needed me to come up with the answer. And he would never leave me alone, but he wanted to challenge me, because he knew that in order for me to learn the lesson and get what I needed to get, I needed to figure out the answer on my own. But he wasn't way off here. He's right here. I got you. I got you. I got you. That's the good tutor. That's the good teacher. And that's what it looks like. I'll wrap this up. I talked to a lady the other day on the phone. She called me. She's a farmer. She's a good farmer. We live in Louisiana. We live in New Orleans. She's in about an hour north of us. She has like 30 acres of land, and she cultivates the land. She's been doing it for years, and she's very good at it. The crop she produces is great. People like it. She sells it. And she calls me because she's at her wit's end. Let's put it that way. I used to be so in love with God. I used to be so on fire for God. I used to do all this stuff. Now I can't even go to church. I can't even worship because I feel so distant from him. And I know that I'm a princess. I know that he's in me and all that stuff, but I can't feel it. She's like, I know the things to say to myself, but it doesn't work. I'm like, okay. I keep asking more questions. I'm like, okay. That's what I do. I usually don't jump to conclusions. And I'm like, okay. I kept asking more questions, and guess what the bottom line ended up being? She felt condemned. She condemned herself because she had so much enjoyment in her garden. She felt condemned because, as she said, I'm not out healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, preaching the gospel. I said, really? You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You're an awesome farmer. Enjoy it. Don't do anything else. God's put that dream in you. He's gifted you to do that. Do it and be awesome. And don't ever condemn yourself again for doing something that God's asked you to do. He's sitting there talking to her and enjoying her as she pulls up cucumbers. And she thinks he's yelling at her from over here. Hey, come raise this dead person. We talk about doing greater things because we believe for that. We believe that we are the generation that's going to walk in greater exploits than Jesus. Right? I believe that. Y'all believe that? Good. But guess what? Sometimes the greater thing is being a farmer. We need to redefine. God needs to expand our thinking what the greater things is. Because those exploits and those miracles are the greater things. Do you want to head up and start playing some guitar? They are the greater things. But the things that God is going to do through us, we don't even have a grid for. It's not in the Bible, and God's going to be laughing the whole time, but the only way that he's going to do it through us is by expanding our thinking to defy and to undercut any unbelief that we have, any fear that we have, and it's all going to flow directly out of identity, which you guys have in stone. How much of a gift is that? So now you can be farmers. What do? You work at a desk? Be awesome. You sling pizzas? Be awesome. Pastor, you're already awesome. I'm going to ask God to open our eyes, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. That's something that I would like to do as a gift, because it's a gift that I've been given. When I first was awakened to the Holy Spirit, I was reading in Ezekiel. And God says to Ezekiel, you live in a land with people who have eyes to see but do not see, and ears to hear but do not hear. And my response was, oh, that's me. God, open my eyes. Open my ears. And guess what? He did. And I was a guy that didn't know the voice of God. And I know a lot of y'all probably do. I started to see visions and hear his voice and all kinds of stuff. And about 2 years later, he gave me a promise. He said, Jeremy, when you pray for people, it's for their eyes and to be open and their ears to be open, it'll happen. So I like testing him out. I like seeing if he'll back his word up. That's the greatest gift, guys, is intimacy with God. If you take away anything from today, it's God's desire to know you, to have you know him, and to just go down this path of life together. That's it. All this stuff is cool. But who cares about the stuff? It's just stuff. I think when you can get to that point, he dumps lots of stuff on you. Because we're not created to be impoverished. We're created to draw from abundance of life. But when we get it, it's just like, oh, there it is. Oh, now I can do more. Now I can be awesome. Now I can love more people. Now I can touch more people. I can touch the ends of the earth, right? So just close your eyes for a minute and we'll pray together. God, I don't know how in the world I'm up here. I don't know what in the world you're thinking. But you love doing fun things and you love defying any preconceived ideas that we have about you. And God, I ask you today to hold true to your promise, to touch these folks. Open their eyes, God. Open their ears. Open my eyes, God. Open my ears. I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to be friends with you, God. Because what else is there? Like, if we're not walking in friendship, then everything else can go pound sand. Is that bad? I hope that's not bad. But seriously, that's what it's about. So, Father, bless this body. Bless this house. Oh, God, continue to give them revelation. Continue to pour out on them more and more understanding, God. Wisdom, abundant wisdom, revelation life, revelation knowledge, God. And continue to rise up leaders out of this place that are leaders of leaders. Because it's so easy sometimes to think, I'm underground, I'm in the basement. Our numbers aren't that many. And sometimes, even though we know that that is not our value, we know, God, that that is not what makes us important, and we know that's not what gives us our identity, we still need a reminder that we are so much more than that, God. And I'm saying we because I'm part of this family, whether they like it or not. So, God, do things in them that they didn't even know were possible. Do things that they're going to be sitting here 6 months from now trying to figure out. Show up in ways, God, that we didn't even know was possible. Defy every limitation that we put on you. Defy everything, God, because we will avail ourselves to you, but at the end of the day, it's your power, and we could never avail ourselves enough for you to be able to do what you need to do anyways. So we do make ourselves available to you now, but we need you to supersede all that and laugh the whole way. We take no credit for any of it, God. You get all the credit. But God, I ask that these folks end up next week, they come together. Man, I've been having dreams. I've started hearing God in ways I've never heard before. I was praying and I started having visions that I never had before. And God revealed things to me about his heart that I didn't even know existed. And he started to show me things about other people that he saw. And he asked me to go talk to them and love them. Sitting there in my car, and all of a sudden out of the blue, an invention popped in my head, a business idea popped in my head, and I can't shake it, and I know it's him, and I got to do it. God, give them all of those things, God. Give them healing power that we don't even know what to do with it. Like, we think that it's us saying a prayer by your power and by your authority and all this stuff, but it's you just shooting out of our hands. And then you're like, it's not even out of my hands. It's coming out of my belly. Oh man, I'm just thinking it. And people from across the street are getting healed and they don't know what's going on. God, shake us up. Shake us up. Shake this body up, Lord, because they can handle it, God, because they're so rooted in this truth. Lord, and just bless them abundantly in every single area, God, in finances, in relationships, in business, all of it, Lord. Protect them. Give them wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, what Jeremy has been sharing